Relationships are often described as one of the most important parts of our lives, but they can also be one of the most confusing. How do you know if you're truly in the right relationship or in one that just feels comfortable? And when it comes to age gaps, where is the line between a healthy difference and a potential imbalance? Today, psychotherapist Chloe Callanan joins me, known as RUL Therapy on socials, and she's going to be exploring the emotional, psychological and practical factors that shape relationship compatibility and how to better understand what is right for you. Chloe, welcome back to the show. Always a pleasure to chat to you. First off, maybe people don't know that they are or they aren't in the right relationship. How would you define a healthy relationship?
Hi, Valerie. Yeah, so look, I suppose a healthy relationship is characterized by three main things, and I always talk about these things with my clients. It's by how safe you feel, how respected you feel, and how valued you feel within that relationship. And you know what, it's handy there as well, because we can apply those three things to every relationship, friendship, whatever it may be in our life. But at its core, a healthy relationship would consist of things like emotional safety, feeling like you can be yourself, mutual respect, being able to talk about issues openly, and the effort should come from both parties in that relationship, you know, to make it work and to make it, you know, a nice relationship to be in for each other, not just for ourselves. But I always say a healthy relationship should add to your life. It shouldn't take away any form of your sense of self or your self-worth or leaving you feeling anxious in any way, shape or form.
On the flip side then, what are some common symptoms or signs that someone might be in the wrong relationship for them?
I think the tricky part here is that the signs are often subtle and people maybe explain them away or they normalize them. But some really common ones I see are, you know, when a client might come to me and say they're starting to feel more anxious in the relationship than they are, you know, feeling secure in that relationship. So they might be overthinking text messages or second guessing where they stand, or they might constantly be waiting for reassurance. You know, they might be doing most of the emotional work. So they may be the one initiating conversations, fixing issues, or, you know, trying to proactively keep the relationship healthy. But I think the biggest sign is actually internal. So they may feel drained. They may, you know, feel like there's something off, but they keep telling themselves that, you know, it's normal or it'll get better, or it'll pass. But a lot of people don't realize that they're in the wrong relationship because nothing is obviously, you know, bad. There's no big dramatic reason to leave, just that kind of constant feeling that something isn't quite right.
Something niggling at you, I can imagine. That would be kind of a good word to describe it, niggling. And I think everybody probably knows of someone who is typically kind of in and out of relationships all the time and then has another partner, you know, is someone that could be viewed as jumping from relationship to relationship, depending on the circumstances, of course. Are there any patterns in people like that who seem to be constantly picking unsuitable partners for themselves?
Yeah, and look, I say this gently. Usually in those scenarios, it's not necessarily bad luck. It tends to be a pattern. So when someone is repeatedly choosing unsuitable partners for them, there are often a few things that are going on underneath. So they may be drawn to something or someone that feels familiar. Now, familiar doesn't mean healthy. So if inconsistency or emotional unavailability feels normal to them, they can mistake that for attraction or chemistry or even love. Or like that, they may confuse intensity with connection. So the highs and lows feel exciting, but that's not the same as emotional safety. So a big one I see is in these dynamics, the person may not be pausing to reflect between relationships. So that's something we should all be doing. So when we move from, say, one situation to the next, we need to ask, you know, why did we choose this person? You know, was there any red flags that I ignored? How can I show up better next time? Or how can I have my needs met, you know, or communicate my needs better going forward? And until that awareness piece comes in, unfortunately, the pattern tends to repeat over and over again.
How can therapy help people with their relationship, I wouldn't say necessarily issues, but their relationships in general, even if things are going well and things are quite secure for you? How can it help you kind of just regulate yourself? I know we've spoken before about anxious and avoidant attachment styles and things like that. Is it just a place to figure those things out for yourself?
Absolutely. And look, therapy doesn't tell someone what to do, whether to stay or whether to leave. It helps them make a decision that they feel clear and confident in while staying aligned with the life they want. So what it really does is create a space to step back from the emotion and look at the relationship more objectively. So in therapy, someone might start to understand their patterns, so what they're drawn to, you know, what they tolerate and why. They'll understand their attachment styles and how we can better nurture our attachment styles going forward. They can get clear on their needs and their values. They can explore what's working, what isn't working, and they can build self-trust so they can rely on their own judgment rather than constantly, you know, seeking reassurance. So when that happens, the therapeutic relationship could allow this person now to, you know, shift from should I stay in this relationship or should I go? It's now, does this relationship align with the life and the version of myself that I want? And we make that decision with love for everyone involved there.
I can see how that is such an individual process in its own way then, that you probably learn about yourself that then you apply to all of these things. As you said, therapy is not necessarily going to tell you whether you should break up with someone or something like that. You know, another thing we're talking about this evening on the show is age gaps. Some people view them as very negative. From your standpoint, are society's judgment about age gaps in relationships valid, or is it mostly stigma?
I think it's a mix of both, to be honest. Some of the concern is valid, but a lot of it can also be stigma when people just judge purely on age alone. And I think we've all been in a position, take relationships out of it, where we may have felt judged for our age. Age gaps in themselves aren't automatically unhealthy. I think what really matters is the dynamic within the relationship. So not just the number of years between two people. Where concerns can be valid is where, you know, there's a power imbalance. So, for example, differences in life stage, financial control, emotional maturity, or one person may have significantly more influence or control over the other. Or even like that, when someone is very young and still figuring out their identity and who they are, they can be a little bit more vulnerable in those kind of dynamics. But outside of that, two adults with an age gap can absolutely have a healthy, secure relationship where, we'll go back to the three things, the safety, the respect and the value is there. So I'd say it's less about asking, you know, is there an age gap, and more about asking, how does this relationship actually function, and are both people safe, respected and valued?
Can it work in a situation, say there's a very substantial age gap, where it just means that career goals and family goals are completely, the two people are at different stages of their lives? How could people potentially navigate those differences if they do want to be in a relationship with someone who's at a different life stage like that?
Yeah, and this is where age gap relationships really require intentional communication. Differences around things like career, lifestyle, like wanting children, like you mentioned there, they're not small things. And avoiding them in conversation usually creates, it's just kicking the can down the road. I mean, we'll come across the problem again later. I suppose what helps is, you know, being honest early on, like having those open conversations about what you both want long term, even if it feels uncomfortable. And we all know those conversations can be hard to have. I think getting clear on timeline, so it's not even just if you want the same things, but when you want them and when you would like to, you know, expect these things in your life. But I always say, and I think we spoke about it before as well, around in a relationship, we have to be so conscious of when we're being asked to, you know, compromise, when we're asking to bend, you know, maybe certain things that we may want or things we can negotiate on, versus when we're being asked to break. So if we're finding that we're completely neglecting our own wants, needs, values, morals, goals, that would be then a bit of a concern. But I think the main thing is, and it always goes back to, communication.
Which is probably the backbone of every relationship anyway, whether there's an age gap or whether 100%. There's not, you know, it depends on the situation. Before I let you go, what are three questions someone should be asking themselves if they are feeling a little bit unsure about their relationship? Perhaps after listening to this, perhaps in general, what are three things they should be questioning within themselves?
I love this. Okay, question number one. If you woke up tomorrow morning and you were more like your partner, how would you feel about yourself? Question two would be, if I took away your partner's ability to speak, would you still want to be with them based on their actions? And number three, if you're in a relationship and you're feeling a little bit unsure at the minute, are you okay with this being the way you're loved for the rest of your life?
Oh my goodness, they are deep. Okay, hang on. Let's unpack slightly. The first one, which was, if you woke up tomorrow and you were more like your partner, how would you feel about that? As in, like, exactly, as in, like, if you basically turned into them overnight, would you be proud of yourself, or would you?
Yeah.
Okay. Second one was if for some reason their ability to speak was taken away, would you be happy with their actions alone? What exactly actions wise are we talking? They're kind of like putting their money where their mouth is.
Kinda, yeah. I mean, it's a trap we all kind of fall into in some stage of life where our words don't necessarily match our actions, and especially in relationships. You know, some person, if we talk about attachment styles, some person may really need that communication. They may be an anxious attachment, whereas if someone's an avoidant attachment, they kind of fear that really deep, intimate conversation. So like that, one person might be able to say a lot of things, but may not be able to put the actions behind it and meet your needs. And then that is essentially just kicking the can down the road. So obviously words are important. True change comes from behavior. So if we took away the ability to speak, would their actions match up to the person you believe for them to be?
Wow, that's a thinker, in fairness. And then your last one, basically, if this feeling that you felt forever, if this was your forever in this relationship, how, like, would that be okay for you? Would you be happy with that? Yeah. That one I kind of totally see. I'm sure people have that thought, maybe organically anyways. The other two might be newer ones to add to the mix for more critical thinking on the whole scenario. But certainly for people that are in a bit of a spot with the relationship where they're not sure whether they're coming or going, it's probably the first thing is, if this was forever, how would I feel? Generally speaking, not well. They probably wouldn't be that happy about it. Do you know what I mean? It'd probably be a good question to ask yourself. And I do appreciate you bringing that and the other questions to the table this evening, Chloe, as always. Where can we find you on socials if we want to follow along with you?
If you want to follow me, you can find me on Instagram and TikTok at @RUL_therapy. And I'd love to have you there.
Chloe, thank you once again for joining me on Between the Sheets on iRadio's group chat. I am sure we will catch up with you again.
Thank you so much.